Welcome to the Natural Alternative Podcast. I'm your host, Madonna Guy, and today I'm delighted to introduce Jackie Mooney from Bayside Learning Enhancement and Simply the Brain Kinesiology. Jackie is the author and creator of the course, Simply the Brain, Introduction to the Brain. She's also an international keynote speaker, kinesiology practitioner, trainer, and instructor trainer. She has over 30 years experience as a specialized kinesiology practitioner, trainer, and industry leader. Welcome, Jackie.
Thank you, Madonna. It's so lovely to have some time to sit and chat with you.
Oh, so nice. It's so nice seeing your face after a few crazy years.
I'll say.
So how has your world changed in the last couple of years? Getting these courses online, that's an amazing achievement.
Well, for me, life's dramatically changed in the last couple of years. Prior to that, probably for the last 10 or 15 years, I spent anywhere between 5 and 7 months traveling overseas and interstate training. So teaching other kinesiologists various courses, and that was in the US, Canada, China, Japan. So it was pretty busy for me, and that came to a very quick halt in 2020. So I had to make a big change. And one of my organizers in the US had been asking me for a while to start videoing the classes. And my technology skills are not as advanced as perhaps I would love. And so I said only if I could get some assistance with doing the videoing. So I found a person who had done some work with me before, and we began to do the online courses. So that made life really busy because we decided we'd video and record all of the classes and offer them live, but live online, and also for people who couldn't attend either because the timing didn't work for them, you know, right then, or because the hours didn't work. Because if you're attending in another country, sometimes by 2 or 3 in the morning, you just want to be in bed.
There's only so many hours in the day. You've got to fit the sleep in. How have you found it teaching online?
Well, I've always been a really hands-on person. I struggled even when I had to learn to start doing work with people, and I couldn't physically have my hands on them. So for people who had a strong disability and I wasn't able to work with them, or even sometimes touch them if they were tactile defensive, I found I had to use a surrogate. And while the right side of my brain, which is my gestalt, I believe almost anything side, thought, well, of course this could work. My left side of the brain said, but I think I should be doing something physical on these people because they've got really big issues. I had to actually take that leap of faith and start to work with people via surrogacy. But I still had the person in the room so I could do corrections on them. And that helped my brain accept that this is actually very real. And the changes that happened were unbelievable. So that was a big step for me. And then starting to have to do it all online where you didn't even have the person in the room with you. That was the next reality unchecked. And, but it was really good. Everyone who's done the study with me almost everyone has had to learn over these last 2 years how to self-monitor and be able to really observe what's going on in their body.
In August in 2020, I was part of an ATMS online just chat with kinesiologists for the public. And at the time I was here, I think there were 7 of us, and I was the only one not doing fully etheric kinesiology balancing. And I got really angry. I'm like, no, there's some things that must be, you know, and I was against it. Because even when Charles was up in Brisbane, I think the December or November before that, because I'm sure it was just before COVID that he was in town.
Maybe. Not long.
Yeah. And people were there saying, oh no, you just etherically have the body on the table. And I'm like, what are you talking about? So I've actually done quite a bit of it in the last year as well, which has been a huge shift of consciousness to believe it's possible.
Well, and what you're saying is very real, because I guess I really love that hands-on aspect of the kinesiology. But now, of course, then when I was teaching it, what I did is the first couple of balances that I did, I actually just did self-monitoring, and I would do the balance on one of the students. And so that we could show people how to do it. And I hadn't done a lot of it. I'd done a few online consultations, and I was really amazed that they actually worked. And I thought, oh, you know, this is good, but I do like that face-to-face. So for the rest of the classes that I taught, I had someone, a live person,
yes,
as a surrogate. And they were, my partner was my beautiful blonde-haired assistant. But I actually did the balances on the students. So we would find someone and he would be a surrogate. And it amazed me because, you know, I've always thought working with families not always the easiest thing to do, because they have, you've got that closer connection. And I hadn't found working on him an easy thing to do.
Yes.
But when, as a surrogate, it was totally different. His muscles responded so differently, and it would just amaze me that it would be so different. So I did all of the balances that way. And now it's like in the 2 years, that's totally changed my mindset.
Yes. I think I'm pretty much there now, going 15 months into a Therakin big surrogate, because I've been doing surrogate balances for people from around the world. So I sort of, you know, get the emails, we chat about what we're going to do. Then I just get either a human being or an etheric body, and I just get to work. And it's quite interesting. Yeah.
So it really is effective. I don't really see that it's any different, but I've just started in the last while starting to see clients again physically, mainly because we've had so many lockdowns here. And also because by choice, because I was so busy with the training that I just felt like I had to.
Yeah. For those of you who don't know, Jackie's from Melbourne in Victoria, which is it has the dubious thing of being the most lockdown city in the world, I believe. Just totally, totally crazy. Anyway, so tell us about LEAP. So I know my YouTube people will know about LEAP. Tell us a little bit about LEAP. So the brain integration process that you love and teach.
Okay, well, I mean, I met Charles back in 1992, I think it was. I was only 4 years old, of course. And as soon as I met him, he was talking about developing a program, working with learning problems and challenges using kinesiology. And at that stage, I'd done a little bit, but I thought it was more like a party trick, not anything I would do as a career. But I was very intrigued by this, and I decided I would do a 2-year study program with him, which was the first full advanced diploma study that was available in Australia, and enrolled with that. And then he started teaching the LEAP in the following year. So I've studied and worked with him for over 30 years now. And I love LEAP. You know, people talk about LEAP being, it's about brain integration. But the reality is it's more about, we used to call it learning enhancement, but it's really about life enhancement. And the name has been changed in the last little while to life enhancement, because when we look at a learning problem, it could manifest very overtly with a child at school and they're having problems learning, or an adult who had problems learning at school. And it could be someone who's got these challenges all the time. So they've always had these challenges, or it could be someone who has these challenges in a certain situation. So it's just a situational one. And the reality is if you've had learning challenges when you were younger, you just grow up and have more compensation rather than really clearing them. Sometimes you can, because you clear some of the stressors around it. So for me, I loved wanting to learn about how the brain works. And
And you were learning with Charles, I imagine, because that was fairly early into Charles's research himself, wasn't it?
Yes, he hadn't actually taught it yet when I first met him. And he was developing it. And I said, but if you're not teaching it, how will I learn? He said, well, you'll be able to just sit in with me and learn it, you know, as we go. But in my second year of study, he was teaching it for the first time. And it was fairly chaotic. It got rewritten pretty much every night. But I was just so grateful to have it. And so 2 years later, I started working with him in his clinic as well as having my own clinic. And so it's been through a huge amount of development, and we're actually in the process of redeveloping it right now.
Right. Yeah. So he's doing that from Boston.
He's not actually part of that. There's a group of us that are doing this. But he is, yes, he's in Boston right now. And the material is, Charles is no longer instructing.
Right.
And he hasn't done that for a few years. So at some stage, I'd like to retire. So I'm in the process of trying to train other instructors to take over. And so, besides training other students, kinesiology students, right now I would like to target instructors. That's my what I'd like to do.
Okay. So because we might get a few people from around the world listening in, I've got a lot of kinesiologists who watch certainly my YouTube channel. So what's involved in someone becoming a LEAP instructor, a brain integration instructor?
We actually have a training pathway, which I can easily send that out to them if they're interested in connecting with me. The LEAP has been restructured. It was 7 courses.
Yes.
But it's been broken down so that we have a foundation series. And there's 4 shorter courses in the foundation series. And they're basically for anybody who's doing any type of kinesiology work. It doesn't have to be necessarily a learning problem. If you think about, oh, I've got problems learning. It's such a wide category.
It really is. Absolutely.
If you have problems resolving relationship issues, problems with your people that you work with, if you've got challenges in almost any area of your life, it is a learning problem. You haven't learned how to resolve those in a healthy way. So, but the foundation series, there's 4 courses that are shorter. They're 4 days, 3 days, 3 days, and 4 days. And there, once you do those 4 courses, you then can be certified. So you have to do your assessments, but you can be certified as a LEAP Foundation practitioner. And at that stage, if you wish to, you could decide whether or not you would like to go into instructor training. You could start training you could train other students.
Yes.
In the foundation series. You'd be encouraged to go into the further stream, which is what we now will call the LEAP learning stream. And have you done all of the LEAP classes, the original classes?
I certainly did all the original ones, but I know things have changed a bit in the last, 10 years, 15 years.
Yes, it's changed a lot, but it's the material is so much easier to work with now. It's really bright and beautiful, beautiful manuals. Actually, I'll show you one. I've just been working on it for the last few days, doing changes to, this is the new series.
Beautiful.
And it's got lots of lovely color. I'm showing you all the pages that don't have color, but lots of color. It makes the study of neurology a lot more palatable than it has been in the past.
And there's a lot of science behind kinesiology, isn't there? So it's one of those things that, people just assume it's in that woohoo weird sort of area. But, I think the thing I love about Charles is that he knows everything about everything. Take you off on a tangent. Yeah.
That's exactly why I studied with him, because I had done some kinesiology earlier when I lived in Sydney. So this was quite a few years ago. And I thought it was really great, but more like a party trick, not a career pathway. And when I met Charles, I realized that he could help me to understand why what we do works. And my logic part of my brain needed that. Like, as I said, I can believe in all sorts of things, but part of me, if I want to do it and be a professional with it, I need to know and understand why it is. And that's one of the things that when I teach people who have done other kinesiologies and they've done some information about the brain, or even people who've trained as a nurse, for example, and they managed to get through their nursing study and they've become a kinesiologist, they go, wow, I love this now, because the anatomy, the physiology, the neurology now has makes sense. And now yes. I know how I can apply it. And so. Yeah.
I know it's not quite the same, but I do live blood screening. So take the drop of blood, look at it on a computer screen. And I was at an update, I don't know, 10 years ago or something. And there was a woman there who was a hematologist, and she was the guest lecturer of the day. She'd only just learnt live blood. And she was saying that she had never seen live blood until she learnt a live blood course as a hematologist. So people have different levels of knowledge, and when you start getting it to make perfect sense for them, it just lights up all sorts of excitement in their lives, which is fantastic. You know, it's, and that's what we need.
It's application. And then if they see how it changes after a balance.
Yes.
A kinesiology balance. That's amazing. The first time I saw a live blood analysis was actually at a conference in Salt Lake City. And this was a number of years ago, probably 15 to 20 years ago. And they did a live blood analysis and showed it on the screen. You could see it on a big screen. And then they did a kinesiology balance and did another one, and you could see the difference already in the blood.
Less inflammation, less toxicity, just sort of better flowing blood, I imagine, is what I'm imagining. Yeah.
It was amazing. And that really helped me to understand that when we're working with people, we're working on so many levels.
Yes.
You know, kinesiology is about muscles, and it's about working on a physical body. Or is it?
Is it? Exactly.
Because, or is that just something that we're doing so that it looks like we're doing, it is actually what we're doing. People can then see a physical change in their structure and in the movement of their body and the integrity of the muscles. I was just working with a young man today, and we still get that. Oh, I wasn't ready. Are you pushing harder? When we're
you go, come on, I've done 1,000 of these muscle tests on you.
And I think, that's okay. You get ready. You tell me when you're ready and we'll do this again. Yep, it's locking. Now when I add this extra bit of information and it's like spaghetti. And he goes, it's amazing how that shifts it. And I go, absolutely.
Yes.
So I was actually working with something that is a little bit different. And this is one of the things that we've been working with probably for the last 10 or 15 years, but working with oxygen stress.
Yes.
In the brain. And besides, in the body, like hypoxia. And it's much more common than people can even imagine with it. And the course I've been getting ready to, over the last couple of weeks, is on the glial cells. And I was listening to an audio book over the weekend about the glial cells, and they were talking about it. And it was in 2012 that they started to make these great discoveries. And I thought 2012 and then 2015, I thought we started teaching it about 2014.
Yeah.
When I actually taught my first class on the glial cells. And so they'd only—
Was that in Brisbane? Because I might have been in that class.
That might have been my second one.
Okay.
The first one was in Canada. I think it was in Vancouver, because it was really scary because there's so much information about it and I just had no way to model it. But then Brisbane probably was my second one. And now it's 4 days. We do 4 days with it.
Nice.
But the podcast that I was just listening to it wasn't a podcast. It was an audio book. But it was... talking about how they now recognize that the glial cells of the brain are involved in they create and respond to inflammation in the body and in the brain. So they are totally involved with autism, with any inflammatory disease, which is the cause of inflammation's cause of most disease and imbalance in the body, but also anything like an autoimmune disorder.
Right.
And glial cells are very strongly behind this. And this is, I actually learned quite a lot over the 12, 14 hours that I've listened to the the book, it was that has added to the knowledge that I've gained in myself, looking at it from a different perspective and how they're using the QEEG monitoring. So they've got live monitoring of what's going on in the brain and able to observe what's happening, like with the glial cells and how they impact and work with the what they call the glymphatic part of the brain, which is the lymphatic system, but the glial cell lymphatic system. And that's when they knew that they, well, I think that they discovered this. I can't recall quite when they discovered that, that this is a reasonably new one. And I happened to read an article on it. And I thought, wow, this is really important. And I was teaching the glial cell. So I started to add that into the glial cell one, looking at this new lymphatic system and how that affects our body and how it cleans the brain. So things like Alzheimer's and dementia, all those brain problems.
Yes.
The glial cells are so involved with that.
Actually, you might be able to answer a question, and don't stress if you can't, but it's been ticking away in my brain for the last month. I watched a video with Joseph McCullough and Professor Stephanie Seneff. So it was about how the spike proteins from the vaccine are the spike proteins are being created in the spleen. The spleen is creating heaps of antibodies, which is what it's supposed to be doing. But then in some unlucky people, I think the spike proteins or the antibodies are getting attached to the vagus nerve, and they know that somehow for Parkinson's, there's a connection between the spleen and the vagus nerve and then the cranial nerves in the brain. Do you know what that connection would be? Because I'd never heard of the spleen connection with Parkinson's, and she sort of went spleen, vagus nerve, Parkinson's. Anyway, it's just been ticking over in my brain for a month, and I keep thinking, I must find out what that connection is. But, yeah, I hadn't heard it before.
The vagus nerve is connecting into every system of the body. And it's
vagus nerve?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's strongly, of course, influenced by, it will be influenced by the glial cell. The spleen has, you know, with the spleen, one of the big aspects about the spleen is its immune aspect.
Yes.
And so I don't know, I haven't followed as much, only because we weren't able to really see people and I was busy teaching the classes. So I wasn't seeing as many clients that were COVID affected.
Yes.
I just hasn't landed on my lap.
Yes.
So I'm not really sure of how all the connections are, but there's a few people that have been mapping that out and looking at that. So there certainly are people that have looked at that connection.
No, that's okay. It was just a thought. Yeah. It was an amazing interview anyway.
But, you know, it's one of the things that you're saying right there is you're listening to someone do an interview and it starts to help you understand about, okay, so maybe there's this aspect of involvement. And then as a kinesiologist, depending on our level of training, that gives us the opportunity to go and start to explore that and see what shows up with the body. And that's why we started working with the glial cells. I mean, I'd have to go back and check to see when the original manual was. It actually wasn't a manual. It was actually a handout. That might have been when you did it.
Or yes, maybe I didn't have a manual, I don't think.
Okay, so that would have probably been the second time before it was just, and the first couple of times it was taught at the end of, I think, Brain Integration 1, and it was done in one day, and it was horrifying.
Yeah, that's pretty full on.
Yes. And so we were able to start to work with it right away, and even though we didn't know all the connections, a lot of that came afterwards, we could see that it was a whole different level of brain integration, because we now know that the glial cells, besides just having, they're really important as far as their support structure for the neurons in the brain, because they do provide that lattice work of support and they help to be involved with, you know, phagocytosis and cleaning up in the brain and myelin sheath, so the lay down of myelin in the brain and also the glial cells in the peripheral nervous system, which is,
you know, anyone with like MND and multiple sclerosis and those sort of things, that demyelinization.
That's glial cells. It's the glial cell involvement that is happening with that. And that's an aspect of inflammation. And they're recognizing now that the glial cells, they're just getting programmed incorrectly. And they're starting to destroy the neuronal synapses, particularly in the hippocampus. So what that means for those who haven't done as much brain study is, I'm a neuron and I'm going to send an information along to another neuron. So I'm going to speak to this neuron, but we don't really touch. We just have this little like synapse and we have a chemical signal that goes across. It starts, an electrical signal comes. We've got a, like a little chemical part happening right here. And then that will activate this neuron to send the signal on somewhere else. So these synapses are really important. And if you have a deregulation at the synapses, then, and even at the worst case is that if you start to have the synapses break down, then your memory's affected. So there's a really, really strong connections. I mean, we could actually just do our whole talk on glial cells.
I'll probably redo that with you. Like, it sounds like it's been expanded massively. So, yeah.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. At first it was like, wow, these are interesting. And they do seem to make a huge difference to brain integration. And that was my interest. And when people we did work on them, they were much more stable with their brain integration.
Yes.
And that was the first benefit that I was aware of and that I noticed. But then I started to find out that lots of other things were showing that I couldn't explain, like, why were these other cells that line the ventricles, why were they showing up? I just thought that they were kind of basically the lining, you know? And then you start to understand that they have got a much bigger structure and a much bigger function.
Yes.
Rather than structure. And then you realize how inflammation is just...
So it's like epigenetics affecting the glial cells. Or epigenetics affecting the neurons, or inflammation is separate from the epigenetics in that?
Well, what I think is one of the big things that they're just discovering in the last couple of years is that when you have inflammation in the brain, one of the glial cells called the microglia, and they're called microglia because they're really small, but there's a lot of them. And they're meant to be like the garbage men. They keep, you know, they're the housekeepers. They keep things nice and neat and sort things out. And if there's cellular debris, they clean it up and tidy it up and a bit of polish and everything that's good. But they do way more than that. And one of the things that they're finding is that right now they are running a different program and they are starting to affect what's happening at this synapse where one neuron talks to another.
Right.
Neurons send the signal. So they say if information is going to travel from A to B and then on to C, that goes by the neurons. But whether the neuron will fire or not is not controlled by the neurons. It's controlled by the glial cell.
Right.
So if the signal doesn't go through, or if there's too much neurotransmitter left in that synapse, or if there's not enough, the glial cells are what's going on. So what the latest thing that I've been reading about seems to be that in the hippocampus, now for those of you who are not as confident with some of your brain parts, that's the temporal lobe, that's on the side of the brain right here. Actually, I just happen to have a spare brain right here. You never know where you're going to need another brain. But if you look at this, the brain right here, I'll take it off the stand. I was actually using it today to explain something. This is the brain, and you've got your frontal lobes, the parietal lobes, and then the occipital lobes. But on the side, you've got this temporal lobe here. It's on both sides, but this side's colored yellow. And inside there is an area called the hippocampus. And also curled up underneath it is the parahippocampus. Now, that's really, really important because that's we need that for our short-term memory. So if something happens for you to even understand what I'm saying to you right now, you have to take that information into your hippocampus, then it'll hold that in a little loop for a short period, and then it'll send it to other parts of the brain to work out, what do we know about this? Jackie's saying these words. What relationship do I have to these words so I can find out what's new that she's saying and what's different and what's similar? So it holds everything that we're learning new in this little loop. And while the brain decides if we're going to set it down into more long-term memory, and for it to even decide whether it's relevant and to understand what the meaning is, it has to pull back the information it knows from the back parts of the brain where we store all of these the memories and the associations, and bring it back into the hippocampus to add this new information to what's going on right now. And so in the brain, they always say that they don't make new neurons. What you have now, what you were born with, that's it. You can extend the neural connection so you can make more, you can have like not just one end of a neuron, you can have, it can branch out and you can have lots of little ends, so it can talk to lots of little synapses. So you can make more branches of it, but you don't, they always said you don't have what they call neurogenesis, making new neurons, but they know that you do. And some of the areas that they do is like where your smell is, which is good because with COVID that's been strongly affected.
Yes.
But also the hippocampus. So they can not only make new neurons there, but they can also have the ability to wire these neurons into the existing.
So the glial cells help to make new neurons.
Well, the glial cells are, they have what they have, a they have the this little magic fairy dust that they sprinkle down with that hits nerve growth factor, which helps the neurons grow in specific directions and make connections. But so they're involved with that. They don't make new neurons, but they have, the new neurons are happening. But one of the things that they found is that the glial cells, when they're not functioning well, have the ability to destroy these new neurons before they really establish themselves into the nerve structure. So what that means is then we're not able to replenish this area in our hippocampal, which is for our short-term and long-term memory. It's essential. If you have temporal damage in that area, then you can't learn anything new. And right, you may have difficulty even recalling what you know. So, and for people who have things like Alzheimer's or dementia, all of these brain things, then these glial cells are involved with that. So that's pretty exciting.
That is.
I mean, it's not exciting if it happens to you, but it's exciting for us to know about this so we can actually start to work with it.
Yeah. I wonder if that's similar to, you've heard this concept of pruning. So when babies are born, the neurons are growing, and then all of a sudden the nervous system goes, we need to stop that growth now. And it sort of prunes it back to equal the environment the babies are in or something like that. Yeah. I'm wondering whether a similar thing happens with adults. I'm just thinking, but I wonder whether part of pruning it back in adulthood is if life is too stressful and your brain doesn't have the capacity, I wonder if that is like a pruning thing that happens as adults.
That, what you're talking about right there, well, there's two aspects. So let's talk about one. The pruning is essential because initially you've got all sorts of possibilities of pathways in the brain, but then they'll work out what is the one that makes them, what's the most direct connection.
Yes.
So whatever's the most direct connection. So if I'm trying to move my hand as a baby, because I want to put something into my mouth, I find a little cerebellum happening to be hanging around and I just want to put that in my mouth, I'm going to try to send information through my nervous system to try to make this motor movement happen. And so it'll send information out to maybe 10, 20, 30, 40 different places. And one of them is actually going to get a result that I move my hand and I actually can grab it. And so with repetition, the other ones, that pathway starts to become stronger. And then the other pathways start to get pruned because they're not necessary.
Right. Yes.
So That's one aspect of pruning, and that's why it happens. Can we pause for just 1 second?
Absolutely. Hi, we're part two of the alternative podcast with Jackie Mooney. I'm Madonna Guy, and we're chatting about pruning the brain. So it's a necessary part of the brain. Yeah.
Absolutely, because the brain's going to, it's like when you have lots of different paths to go different ways, but the road that's used the most often gets they pave it and they make it bigger and wider and more direct. And that's what happens in the brain. The pathway that's the most utilized one is the one that gets more myelin, which makes the nerve impulse be faster. Myelin doesn't just speed up the nerve impulse. It also helps to time the frequency of the information coming in to the brain, because you have information coming in to a part of the brain from lots of different areas. It could be from your vision, from your smell, your sight, touch, all of this. And it could come from your survival parts of your brain. And then it'll go into one area. So it has to be synchronized so that the timing and synchrony is really important with our neural structure. And that's controlled by the glial cells, because they lay down the myelin sheath, which helps to speed the nerve impulse. So they're very important with that. But you mentioned something else about the pruning. And with the pruning in the brain, it's important that we continue to do things with our brain, because unfortunately what happens is as we get older, and even as we become established in a routine, we tend to not use a lot of pathways. And so the brain will prune those because they're not using them. Yeah. And in the brain, especially the pathways that go up into the higher cortical areas, that's these lovely colored areas of the brain here, they're expensive to maintain. So if you're not using it, you lose it. It's just like muscle. And so as we get older, they suggest that you do things that are different, that you don't eat your breakfast at the same time. You don't have your boiled egg and your piece of toast at 8:15 while you read your paper or your iPhone now. And then you have the same cup of coffee at 9:30 and then you do your short little walk. They suggest you go and do different things. You eat different foods, try something new, take a different pathway home. I'm good at that. I get lost often in my car. So
your pruning is going well.
That's not pruning. That's actually developing new neural pathways.
Very good.
As soon as you do something new, you'll develop a new neural pathway. So having different experiences, listening to different podcasts, you learn new things, and that's creating new neural pathways. So some pruning is important, and other times we need to create more pathways in the brain to keep it alive and vital and active, just like we need to do exercise for our body.
Yes. And before we started chatting tonight, we were talking a bit about the fact that people need to have something in their world that is giving them meaning, that's giving them joy, that's giving them some purpose.
Yeah.
So what do you find that happens if people don't have a purpose in their life?
Well, we were talking about this in regards to how people can move into low levels of depression and not finding joy in their lives, and how they can be more easily manipulated, I guess, by different groups. But if you have joy and meaning in life, then your seeking system gets active. So you want to look for things. You are curious and you get that sense of reward and pleasure,
yeah,
which can be that sense of vitality. And if you don't have a sense of purpose in your life, and it doesn't have, like, I am so lucky. Madonna, I've known you for a long time. And when I met you, I was probably pretty passionate about what I do. And as I know you are, and I still am.
Yeah.
I feel so fortunate that I've been able to do work in an area that keeps developing and is still fascinating. I love it.
Yes.
So, but it doesn't have to be, I mean, we both got grandchildren now.
We do.
You know, we talked about learning challenges earlier, and I said, you know, it can be like a learning problem in school, but when you have grandchildren, now you get a chance to learn again differently about how do you handle a defiant two-year-old, typically three-year-old. I haven't got to the fearful four-year-olds yet.
Defiant daughter-in-law.
Absolutely.
It's all learning.
Or mother-in-law.
Yeah.
Or child, you know. So it's always new learning curves. And yeah, so you can find a sense of purpose in your life in lots of ways. You know, I love what I do now. But if I think back to my life and all the different jobs that I've done, some of them just for a few months, some of them I've done for like 10 years, I've been passionate about all of them.
Mm. So that's something about your intrinsic personality, obviously, that
yes,
passion.
I guess some of them I've been less passionate about, but they've been interesting. Like I worked in a pizza restaurant for a little while. That was interesting and intriguing, but it's there you get to learn about how do you handle personalities with different customers? How do you work with people in a different way? So, and I mean, even to being like a tuck shop mother, I used to joke, they'd say, how come you like it so much? I say, well, because I'd only ever do it about every month or two. And I said, it is so much fun. You get to be a shopkeeper because you get to sell things and handle them. You get to have fun seeing all the kids. And, you know, having what they eat. And then, you know, with this is in the day when they had sausage rolls and meat pies, you got to what they did at the schools is it was like giving them an injection of ketchup or tomato sauce.
Oh, yes.
you had this little the bottle and you used to stick it in. I said, it's like being a vet or a doctor. I get to go injection of sauce. And I said, I get to do all of these things for a couple of hours and then I'm done. I can go home and I've had all my career options satisfied in that short period of time. So, yeah, I think you have to find a way to inspire yourself, no matter what you're doing.
You have to fill your own cup. And I think it's sort of very nice with my YouTube channel. I've had two people contact me recently. One of them's a guy called Chuck. And he has been watching me for about 5 years. He's had firefighter or army or police. Anyway, he's been in a few really big careers. He's been shot at and beaten up and all sorts of stuff. He's retired. He's had chronic insomnia, PTSD, but he's going back to study herbal medicine because retirement isn't suiting him. And he's been listening to me for all these years and he's gone, well, it's not suiting me. I'm going to study herbal medicine. And another young kinesiologist over in New Zealand, she was helping at the rallies outside Parliament House doing free kinesiology for people. And she imagines what I'm doing in my videos while she's working on people. So it is amazing helping people to be inspired to find something that inspires them. Like what a cool place we are on the planet.
And, you know, Madonna, what you're saying is we're in a really interesting time in our lives. Like there's a lot that's going on around the world that's really, really hard right now. And there's a lot of people that are suffering. I mean, besides the normal levels of suffering that happen.
Absolutely.
So there are some really terrible things that are happening. But with all the challenges, and we certainly had a lot living in Melbourne because we had quite strict government regulations here. And pretty crazy ones, but everything that happens gives you the opportunity to explore and understand a little bit more about yourself and about human nature and how to overcome some of the challenges. And one of the things you talked about before was about how do you move forward with your life? Well, I've had to totally recreate my life in the last 2 years as far as my working situation is concerned, and I wouldn't go back to the old one.
Yeah.
I don't want to travel for 6 months out of the year going in and out of airports and in and out of hotels. And I mean, I loved the groups of people that I worked with, but I can do my videos online, live, and I've got people from Canada, the US, Hong Kong, and in Europe, they tend to do the videos after they can, because they can look at the videos, they can just purchase it as a package and then they can watch it when they want to. But I get emails from them, but and in New Zealand and in Australia and Singapore, Japan. So you've got, and the people love working with each other.
Yeah.
So we go into breakout rooms and they can do online balances with each other, but they go, this is so amazing because we get to see that we're not alone in the world. Mm. There are lots of people in lots of places doing this type of work. And they found that sense of connection.
So they are doing breakout rooms, etherically balancing each other.
Yes.
Wow.
Absolutely. So in the classes we do, when we're doing the live classes, what we do is it's time to do the balances. I set up all these, I feel like I'm running a hotel. I go get all these rooms organized and we put the people into the rooms. And it's just like there's you and I in the room together. So nobody else can see any other room except myself. I can go in and out of the rooms. And then they just do a balance on each other.
Ah, that's so cool.
And they've loved it. And for many, the people who it was harder to get them to go into the rooms, they wanted to just balance a person in their home. And I said, that's great, but you don't receive the balances. And I want you to receive these balances because they're so powerful. And the ones who were the hardest to convince were the ones who were the old timers, like us, you know, when I say old timers, the young old timers, they've been doing it for a long time and it's harder to make that shift.
Yes. But
once they do, it's like they just realize that they can do so much more than we ever imagined we could do.
Yeah.
So
it's the power of the mind.
There's been huge gifts in what's happened. And I mean, there's always gifts in everything.
Yeah.
One of the things that I've also been working on towards the second part of last year, in the last, say, 4 or 5 months with a couple of other women, we worked with our kinesiology organization. We set up a survey, which you probably would have received. Are you, if you're with the AKA, are you AIK?
I don't get either.
Okay, so what we did is we did a lot of work to permit online training.
Right. Because
it was only counted for hours that were like continuing education, and basically only 50% of the value of the hours. So if you did a course that was a 2-day course, you really only got given hours for an hour, and you couldn't use them towards accredited hours. Continuing education. So we did a lot of work with that, and we did a couple of really major surveys. And I spoke to Matthew Thee, you know, Touch for Health. They had started to do training online. So I talked to him about how it happened, and I explained what we were doing. And he was actually going to come to one of the big forum that we held, but they had a power outage and they couldn't get on. But they had done some big changes, and he said, I wish we'd done it the way you had, because we just decided this is how we're going to do it and didn't actually have the opportunity. We didn't really give the trainers an opportunity to have input. And what they said was they had problems in that their associations didn't allow online training. And that's what we had. And I've got to admit that I've been on the committees for probably 25 years. And I thought, well, how can you learn this? How can you practice this online, and how can you learn it online? Because it's got to be physical, and how can you make the changes? And so for me, it's been a huge awakening and of awareness so that you can actually do these changes. And they're so valid, whether the person's in the room or not.
Oh, hello. Yeah.
So that's been a major thing that we managed to get through at the end of last year. So people can now, it's a valid way of studying. And so I think that's changing in many areas, not just with kinesiology.
That's fantastic. Yeah. So it's going really well and people are loving it.
Absolutely.
So how do people find you? Or how do people find your course? So you've got your Simply the Brain, mm-hmm. Introduction to the Brain course. So where do they find that?
Well, they can find any of the courses that I teach. So I teach all of the LEAP training, and I teach also several of the applied physiology courses as well, and a few other specialist courses like on the complete immune system and the human blueprint, as well as my Simply the Brain, which is a great introductory course to help people understand the brain in a kind of nice, colorful, and fun way, but also learn how to work with the survival parts, some of the survival parts of the brain. You can go to my website, and my website is just www.simplythebrain.com.
Beautiful.
Yeah. Or you can email me. You can email me at JackieMooney@gmail.com. And my name needs to be spelt because you'll never get it right. It's JACQUE Mooney, MOONEY@gmail.com. So you can inquire with me that way or just go to my website and have a look at what we've got on offer.
So final thoughts for people dealing with brain injury or dealing with memory issues or past traumas. I know that LEAP and brain integration helps them. What would you say to those people who are coming from a skeptical place or somewhere where they've been there, tried everything? What would you say to them?
Oh, I mean, after working with this for, particularly with LEAP for over 25 years, there's so much benefit that you can get from it. Please find someone like Madonna is very well trained. Find someone who can do some of this work with you and it will change your life. It will really change your life. I've worked with people who have had PTSD, who've had severe trauma, who've had electric shock treatment, but still were not able to barely get out of bed during the day. Have them back to, I remember with one person that I was working with and they couldn't actually finish a sentence. They couldn't really speak for themselves when we first started. And after, this is not going to happen overnight if you've got this level of severe challenges. But once we'd done some work with her, I said, so how do you feel you are compared to before you had, you know, like a nervous breakdown? They don't necessarily call it a nervous breakdown anymore. They call it anxiety, stress, and all sorts of other names, which we formerly knew it as, or a level of PTSD. And she said, my brain capacity is probably at about 85% of what it was, but partly that might be because I'm not doing the physical job I was doing before. And right. That, of course, keeps your brain going. She said, but I'm happier than I've ever been in my life.
Oh, wow. Fabulous.
Yeah. And I thought, wow, that's really amazing, you know, to go from where you couldn't get out of bed during the day to where you're living a life that is absolutely fulfilling. I mean,
and I think that's one of the things, if the last 2 years has taught us anything, we need to find something that fulfills us. We need to find our own tribe. We need to be able to do something in the world that makes us feel alive and whole and happy and well.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's essential. And you can find it in so many ways. And you've already mentioned some of those, yeah.
Yeah. So thank you so much, Jackie. I look forward to seeing the new manuals and I will have to hop on and have a look and see what I need to because it has been, I reckon, Charles was about 3 years ago. It might have been four, but I think it was three.
It was probably
three and a half, maybe.
It was would have been 4 or 5 years ago.
Wow, time flies. Oh goodness. Anyway. I speak about him often. I just love Charles and some of the way his brain would work. It's just mind-blowing. What a dynamo of a human being.
He's actually developed, it's such a gift that he's developed that has changed hundreds of thousands of people's lives. It really has. Around the world. I know it's in Russia, although that's not necessarily a popular place, but they probably really need that right now.
Yeah.
In all areas of Europe. I've got someone who's in Africa who's done some of the study with me online.
Actually, is there a list of lead practitioners around the world that you can point people to? Or we're not that organized?
We're getting there, but there is a website. If you contact me, then I can lead you through to a website called Breakthroughs International, which will be the holding company for LEAP.
Yes.
And they will have some practitioners there, but we don't yet have a directory.
Yes.
So.
Because that's one of the questions I get asked all the time. I say, oh, look, you know, just look someone up. Look up these words and these words and these words and see how you go.
I can help you sometimes with that. Because I have my own directory, but as far as a worldwide one, and I can also connect you with other instructors that will know of practitioners in various areas. So I can not always help, but I can certainly help. But you know, Madonna, now that we've realized how amazingly effective online balancing is.
Yes.
Another option.
Yes.
Yeah,
absolutely.
And it's not something that I would have suggested 3 years ago.
No, me neither.
No, but now I know it to be true. Like I've just because my personal experience is that the shifts and changes that I've seen and every class that I've done online, when we do the feedback, it's like, this has been amazing. The changes that have happened to me personally, just doing the balances while we learned have been really life-changing.
Yes.
So, yeah, there's lots of people out there who are happy to share these balances with you.
Yeah, no, that's fantastic. Thank you so much for your time, and I look forward to chatting to you again soon. And good luck. I hope for retirement, I hope you get everything and more that you're wishing for your retirement when it finally happens.
We're getting a caravan and we're going to do some traveling.
Oh, fantastic.
Bring the grandchildren, but that might have been a mistake. I'm not sure yet.
Well, I'd take my little teddy anywhere.
Beautiful. Thanks, Madonna. It's been a pleasure to speak to you. It always is. I miss catching up with you in person. It's been too long.
Yes. Well, when you're in your caravan, I'm too chicken to come out of Queensland yet. I don't trust any of them yet. It'll happen. Yeah.
That's it. You may not get back.
Yes, exactly. Thank you so much. I hope we've inspired all of you to go get some brain integration and to find something that gives you passion and joy in your life. Take care. Talk to you soon.
Thank you.
Thank you. Oh, glasses on. What?